Today is the 10th day of November. Wow. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It's great to be here with you today as we move into our week, into our work week. It's great to have the opportunity to have a place that we can find respite and rest and safety here in this oasis that we call the Global Campfire. A place that we create together every day. And we come together from all four corners of the earth, all over the world. Find our places here and keep warm together. And enjoy the warmth in our hearts toward each other as we take another step forward. I am grateful. Deeply grateful. To be here with you today. And so let us begin. Let's jump in. We're working our way through the book of Ezekiel. And today, chapters 21 and 22. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, set your face against Jerusalem and preach against the sanctuary. Prophesy against the land of Israel and say to her, this is what the Lord says. I am against you. I will draw my sword from its sheath and cut off from you both the righteous and the wicked. Because I am going to cut off the righteous and the wicked, my sword will be unsheathed against everyone from south to north. Then all people will know that I, the Lord, have drawn my sword from its sheath. It will not return again. Therefore groan, son of man, groan before them with broken heart and bitter grief. And when they ask you, why are you groaning, you shall say, because of the news that is coming. Every heart will melt with fear and every hand go limp. Every spirit will become faint and every leg will be wet with urine. It is coming. It will surely take place, declares the Sovereign Lord. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy and say, this is what the Lord says. A sword, sharpened and polished, sharpened for the slaughter, polished to flash like lightning. Shall we rejoice in the scepter of my royal son? The sword despises every such stick. The sword is appointed to be polished, to be grasped with the hand. It is sharpened and polished, made ready for the hand of the slayer. Cry out and wail, son of man, for it is against my people. It is against all the princes of Israel. They are thrown to the sword along with my people. Therefore, beat your breast. Testing will surely come. And what if the scepter, which the sword despises, does not continue, declares the Sovereign Lord. So then, son of man, prophesy and strike your hands together. Let the sword strike twice, even three times. It is a sword for slaughter, a sword for great slaughter, closing in on them from every side, so that hearts may melt with fear and the fallen be many. I have stationed the sword for slaughter at all their gates. Look, it is forged to strike like lightning. It is grasped for slaughter. Slash to the right, you sword, then to the left, wherever your blade is turned. I too will strike my hands together, and my wrath will subside. I, the Lord, have spoken. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of Man. Mark out two roads for the sword of the king of Babylon to take, both starting from the same country. Make a signpost where the road branches off to the city. Mark out one road for the sword to come against Rabbah of the Ammonites, and another against Judah and fortified Jerusalem. For the king of Babylon will stop at the fork in the road, at the junction of the two roads, to seek an omen. He will cast lots with arrows. He will consult his idols. He will examine the liver. Into his right hand will come the lot for Jerusalem, where he is to set up battering rams, to give the command to slaughter, to sound the battle cry, to set battering rams against the gates, to build a ramp and to erect siege works. It will seem like a false omen to those who have sworn allegiance to him, but he will remind them of their guilt and take them captive. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says: because you people have brought to mind your guilt by your open rebellion, revealing your sins and all that you do, because you have done this, you will be taken captive. You profane and wicked prince of Israel, whose day has come, whose time of punishment has reached its climax. This is what the Sovereign Lord says: take off the turban, remove the crown. It will not be as it was. The lowly will be exalted, and the exalted will be brought low. A ruin. A ruin. I will make it a ruin. The crown will not be restored until he to whom it rightfully belongs shall come. To him I will give it. And you, son of man, prophesy and say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says about the Ammonites and their insults: a sword. A sword. Drawn for the slaughter. Polished to consume and to flash like lightning. Despite false visions concerning you and lying divinations about you, it will be laid on the necks of the wicked who are to be slain, whose day has come, whose time of punishment has reached its climax. Let the sword return to its sheath in the place where you were created, in the land of your ancestry. I will judge you. I will pour out my wrath on you and breathe out my fiery anger against you. I will deliver you into the hands of brutal men, men skilled in destruction. You will be fuel for the fire. Your blood will be shed in your land. You will be remembered no more, for I, the Lord, have spoken. The word of the Lord came to me: Son of man, will you judge her? Will you judge this city of bloodshed? Then confront her with all her detestable practices and say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says: you city that brings on herself doom by shedding blood in her midst and defiles herself by making idols, you have become guilty because of the blood you have shed and have become defiled by the idols you have made. You have brought your days to a close, and the end of your years has come. Therefore, I will make you an object of scorn to the nations, and a laughingstock to all the countries. Those who are near and those who are far away will mock you, you infamous city full of turmoil. See how each of the princes of Israel who are in you uses his power to shed blood. In you they have treated father and mother with contempt. In you they have oppressed the foreigner and mistreated the fatherless and the widow. You have despised my holy things and desecrated my Sabbaths. In you are slanderers who are bent on shedding blood. In you are those who eat at the mountain shrines and commit lewd acts. And you are those who dishonor their father's bed. And you are those who violate women during their period. when they are ceremonially unclean. And you, one man, commits a detestable offense with his neighbor's wife. Another shamefully defiles his daughter-in-law, and another violates his sister, his own father's daughter. And you are people who accept bribes to shed blood. You take interest and make a profit from the poor. You extort unjust gain from your neighbors. And you have forgotten me, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will surely strike my hands together at the unjust gain you have made and at the blood you have shed in your midst. Will your courage endure, or your hands be strong in the day I deal with you? I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. I will disperse you among the nations and scatter you through the countries. And I will put an end to your uncleanness. When you have been defiled in the eyes of the nations, you will know that I am the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, the people of Israel have become dross to me. All of them are the copper, tin, iron, and lead left inside a furnace. They are but the dross of silver. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because you have all become dross, I will gather you into Jerusalem. As silver, copper, iron, lead, and tin are gathered into a furnace to be melted with a fiery blast, so will I gather you in my anger and my wrath, and put you inside the city and melt you. I will gather you, and I will blow on you with my fiery wrath, and you will be melted inside her. As silver is melted in a furnace, so you will be melted inside her, and you will know that I, the Lord, have poured out my wrath on you. Again the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, say to the land, you are a land that has not been cleansed or rained on in the day of wrath. There is a conspiracy of her princes within her, like a roaring lion tearing its prey. They devour people, take treasures and precious things, and make many widows within her. Her priests do violence to my law and profane my holy things. They do not distinguish between the holy and the common. They teach that there is no difference between the unclean and the clean, and they shut their eyes to the keeping of my Sabbaths, so that I am profaned among them. Her officials within her are like wolves tearing their prey. They shed blood and kill people to make unjust gain. Her prophets whitewash these deeds for them by false visions and lying divinations. They say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land practice extortion and commit robbery. They oppress the poor and needy and mistreat the foreigner, denying them justice. I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not have to destroy it. But I found no one. So I will pour out my wrath on them and consume them with my fiery anger, bringing down on their own heads all they have done, declares the Sovereign Lord. Hebrews 10, 1-17. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? for the worshippers would have been cleansed once for all, and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased." Then I said, "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll, 'I have come to do your will, my God.'" First he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law." Then he said, "Here I am, I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." Psalm 108, a song, a psalm of David. My heart, O God, is steadfast. I will sing and make music with all my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Save us and help us with your right hand, that those you love may be delivered. God has spoken from his sanctuary. In triumph, I will parcel out Shechem and measure off the valley of Sukkot. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim is my helmet. Judah is my scepter. Moab is my washbasin. On Edom, I toss my sandal. Over Philistia, I shout in triumph. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, God, who have rejected us and no longer go out with our armies? Give us aid against the enemy, for human help is worthless. With God, we will gain the victory, and he will trample down our enemies. Proverbs 27:12. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. A Okay, so we've been exploring in Hebrews, like, that Hebrews is written to Hebrews. And so the entire thing is very Hebrew-centric. All the nuances are Jewish. And so we can miss the nuances as Gentiles and as far in the future, how revolutionary the gospel was in the first century to Jewish people. It's so revolutionary that it was good news, too good of news, but also like difficult to get their minds around and accept. And so in our reading from Hebrews today, the author is like clearly stating the argument for the end of one covenant and the beginning of a new covenant. Right? I mean, we read that clearly. I quote, "The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow. It was a dim preview of the good things to come. And it wasn't the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide a perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifice would have stopped. Because the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared." Within the Hebrew context, especially the first century Hebrew context, those statements would have been like profoundly controversial. Many people considered those kinds of statements total heresy. The people reading Hebrews already consider themselves to be God's chosen. So these were not people who were coming to God for the first time. They were people who, like, in their culture, in the fabric of their identity, like, attempted to follow the law of God. So to understand the controversy, let's just reverse it. Let's put ourselves in their shoes. So, like, if you're a Christian, and I know a lot of you are here, like, you just want to know what the Bible says. But those of you who, like, have made this leap and are, like, a disciple of Jesus and following, let's say there was, like, some kind of letter, some kind of viral YouTube post that really got traction because of the credibility of the person. And went all around the world. And the message was that God was doing a new thing in the world. Well, like, so far we'd all be on board with that because we hear that kind of stuff all the time. God is doing a new thing in the world. And this new thing, for it to really be revealed, means that all followers of Jesus who claim to be Christians need to return immediately. Like, literally, we need to go buy some sheep, because God has declared we will return to the sacrificial system of worship. And so we all need to prepare for the Day of Atonement, when this is all going to start. And blood sacrifice will resume, and then God will reveal whatever new thing he is doing in the world. Can you just see how that would play out in a place like the internet? Can you just see how that would play out in places like the pulpits of the churches? Can you see how that would play out in your own heart? Like, it would take profound discernment and a true move of the Holy Spirit in our own personal lives to compel any, like, modern, non-Jewish follower of Jesus to move in the direction like that. And so many, like, by the millions, would call this heresy and destroy the person that was saying it. Like, destroy that person the way that people get destroyed on the internet and in our conversations. We would fight against it. Then there would be others that are like, I just don't have time for this crap. Right? Like, just dismiss it. Like, how stupid. This is so stupid. Embracing this message would be such a difficult hurdle, to say the least. That is a rough approximation of what first century Hebrews were facing as they are facing the message in Hebrews. The argument unveiled in Hebrews was like the only thing, like the only thing that could like have any kind of lever at all in this is that the writer of Hebrews is saying, look, this was all to be expected. This was foretold. And that would give one little pause, a bit of leverage for a person to consider before they just dismiss outright. Because a new covenant, like, I mean, we've read so much of the Old Testament at this point. How many covenants have we seen broken, right? How many times has God come back to establish a new covenant? Because the old one, like, I mean, the unfaithfulness and infidelity spiritually to God, like, the covenant, the marriage between God and his people, like, it was over, it was broken, and so God comes back and tries again with a new covenant. We have seen this so many times. So the people hoping for a new covenant that was foretold, they can get their minds around that. In Hebrews, God used his word, right, the Old Testament prophecy, to prove and reframe that he was doing this among his people. He wasn't trying to get Jewish people to change gods, right? He was trying to reshape their understanding of him. And so, with that in mind, we have to ask ourselves, could God, like, could he even ever do a new thing in us? And if he did, would we embrace it? Would we allow it to reshape our understanding of him? Or would we scoff at it? Or would we reject it? Would we have these terrible debates and say awful, horrible things? We've read enough of the Bible to understand God does not, like, he doesn't care. Like, he has no fear of shattering a paradigm. He is not afraid to use his word to do it. Like, as we're seeing in Hebrews. So, we can have the prayer that is so common for God to do a new thing. But the answer to a prayer like that will require reshaping and reframing. And we might find that is a struggle, just as much as the early Hebrews did. But then, as the writer of Hebrews says, we have to ask ourselves, as they were being asked, are we willing to settle for only a shadow? Are we okay with just a dim preview of the good things to come and not the good things themselves? So God, in the scriptures, continually invites people forward into something new with him. May we invite the Holy Spirit to reveal how we might be resisting that because we're afraid, and we're afraid to take a leap of faith. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you into that. Fear is quite the mighty motivator. And fear itself, like, as a warning, as an indicator like that there may be danger and we should pay close attention. This is a gift you've given us. But sometimes faith requires a leap into an unknown. Because we believe with all of our hearts this is where you're leading. And that is unsettling and disruptive. And yet, that is all through the scriptures. You have no problem inviting people into fully, completely, unabashedly trusting you. So help us to grow in our confidence and trust in you. That we know your voice because we are your sheep. We know your voice because we are in love with you. And where you say to go, we will go. And what you reveal of yourself, even if it reshapes our paradigms, that it just becomes an awareness that we are getting to know you more deeply and you are revealing yourself more intimately than we ever could have imagined. Holy Spirit, come. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Good evening. This is your sister, Betty. I've come to ask and plead with all of you to help me, please, to pray for my brother who lives in Los Angeles. I'm sorry, but I'm at my wit's end. I've prayed for months, and I'm sure he's prayed for years, and it just seems like just things are not getting any better with his life, his home, his finances. At this point, it just feels like a massive spiritual attack that just doesn't seem to get any better. And I'm just asking for your prayers on behalf of my brother. His name is KG, as in the letter K and the letter G. Just pleading with you saints to lift up your voices in agreement with me for my brother, because my heart breaks to see him this way. It's as though he's losing his mind at this point, and I'm so afraid for him. I'm just asking if you feel it in your heart to please offer a prayer of a breakthrough in all areas of his life, because I can't even single out one single thing. He's just going and has been going through it for years, and it just keeps getting worse. So please, 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 I beg all of you to help me to pray for him.
Hey, good morning. This is Joyce from Virginia. I just heard both Blind Tony and Candace from Oregon today after the reading, and just wanted to say how wonderful it was to hear your voices, and amen to Tony's poem, and amen to Candace's prayer. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
I haven't called in a long time. Might go by Winsome Warrior. I'm always trying to stay positive. My husband, on the other hand, he has mental illness. He's in a dark place right now. I don't know where he is. He's turned off his location services. He's called me, and he's denounced God. And I'm so worried for him. I know that Peter did it 3 times, and Jesus still loved him. I know that God still loves my husband, and he needs to get his head right. And I don't know what to do. I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to say. I feel so alone, so hurt, so broken. We have been trying to get him help for so long. Nothing has worked. Nothing has helped. We get a glimpse of normalcy for a short while, sometimes a longer time, but it always comes back to this. I can't keep doing this. I'm only so strong. God, give me strength. Oh, God, give me strength. Help my husband to be okay. Bring a prayer warrior, Christian man, to him right now, Lord, wherever he is. Thank you.
Can I just say how much I appreciate Blind Tony and the creative poetry that he shares? And it's just so genuine and so powerful. And I just want to thank you for taking time to share that. And I pray that God will just continue to sustain you through all of your health journey and family things that are going on. And I just pray for this ministry and for DAB, the whole family. Love you guys.